have your Bibles this morning, the book of Matthew, chapter number 26 is on our heart today. Matthew, chapter number 26. It was good for us to be able to go home and preach at my dad's church there at Fletcher, where I spent many years serving the Lord, and it was a gracious invitation they extended for us to come and be part of a revival meeting for Thanksgiving on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday. And then I was able to be back here on Wednesday night, and I'm thanking the Lord for that, and appreciate the good news. My wife got a good report back, and praise God for that, and just praising the Lord. Had myself a time, amen, and been excited, and then appreciate Brother Remington filling in for us while we were away preaching. And seemed like after COVID, I had COVID back in April, this being November, it's been 7 months, and you'd think, well, he's totally over it, but I get tired really quick. It might be that I'm getting old, but I get tired really quick now, and so after I spring together Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, driving back and forth, and then getting ready for Wednesday, then coming back here, I was exhausted. And Wednesday night, I was leaving here Wednesday night, I was excited about what God had done in the last week, and the good crowd that was here on Wednesday night, and I was going home, and you know what happened to me? I got sleepy. I got a 30-minute ride home, and I got so tired, I got sleepy. I was going down the mountain, I could hardly keep my eyes open. I got sleepy. Have y'all ever just got sleepy? I was in such bad shape. And I got home, I told my wife, I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. She said, you preached like 5 or 6 times in 4 or 5 days. She said, you've got to be killed. I said, that's just not like me. I'm like the Energizer Bunny. I just keep going and going and going and going. And I'm just exhausted. And Thursday was Thanksgiving. I should have been fired slam up because I've got so many things to be thankful for, but I was just worn out all morning long until the family started arriving. And then God started placing this message on my heart. And I want to read out of the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse number 36. I'll ask if you will please stand this morning. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46, if correctly read. Many good thoughts come to me just while I'm reading this text. I mean, we could preach here for a year or more about what's happening. And there's just one little phrase that the Lord captures my attention on in verse 45 today. 3 words: sleep on now. Sleep on now. Interesting statement that Jesus made. And yet in verse 46, he says, rise, let us be going. What did Jesus mean by those words, sleep on now? That's what I want to preach on this morning. Sleep on. Father, would you help us this morning to rightly divide the word of truth? Lord, would you move upon us today? Father, would you help us to stay awake? Would you help us to be alert? Lord, I pray today, Father, there's a call to watchfulness. There's a call to attention that's being made here. Lord, would you help us now to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and help us to preach the truths of the Word of God. For this help we ask and we need so desperately in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I thank you for standing. You may be seated. Jesus said to his disciples, sleep on. In the next verse, rise, let us be going. Jesus is not commending a nap. Jesus is not condoning a good snooze. Jesus is not granting permission for sleep. Today, there are many asleep. Pastors, leadership, membership, folks are asleep. What happens to a fellow when he goes to sleep? Adam lost a rib. He may have lost a few freedoms as well. I don't know. He lost the ability to drive by himself without somebody correcting him. I'll tell you that. Adam lost a lot of things when he went to sleep. What about Samson? When he went to sleep, he woke up, he had no power. Jonah went to sleep, lost his testimony. Matthew chapter 13. While men were asleep, they came in and sowed tares among the wheat, and they lost the purity of the field. Sleeping creates a sense or a time of vulnerability. And you and I need to understand there's a reason that when we have our army or our Marines or maybe they're out, they'll have someone keeping watch. While other men try to get rest, someone's awake, someone's alert. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Paul said, now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And any of us can go to sleep. While these three disciples, let's think about, first of all, their position. They are hand-picked, chosen disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, these three were the inner circle of the 12. And they had a position that was very close to the Lord. They were called to the Mount of Transfiguration. They were called to the house of Jairus when his daughter was raised. And here they're called into the Garden of Gethsemane with the Lord, yet they went to sleep. I think about not only their position, but what about their performance? They saw miracle after miracle. They saw 5,000 people be fed with five loaves and just a few fishes. They saw all kinds of miracles take place, and yet they went to sleep. I think about their proximity. They're closer. Verse 37 says, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. They're closer to him than everybody else. He has taken those boys with him, and yet they went to sleep. None of us are immune to going to sleep. Verse 40, he cometh unto his disciples, and he findeth them asleep. Verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed. Verse 43, he came and found them asleep again. Verse 45, he says, sleep on now. They slept when they ought to been watching. They slept when they ought to been praying. Now it's too late. So Jesus said, sleep on. While they slept, Judas was not asleep. Judas was out recruiting. Judas was out gathering. He was bringing in the elders and the soldiers to come and arrest Jesus. Oh my. We take things for granted and we sleep. While we're asleep, guess what? Social movements and social agendas are not asleep. Principalities and powers are not asleep. They're very much awake. They're working. They're gathering. They're trying to create change in the world in which you and I now live. All these things are happening while we, the church, are asleep. But yet Jesus said, sleep on. Number one, I see in the text the engagement of sleep. Oftentimes, men will be asleep spiritually before they're asleep physically. And I'll prove it to you in the text. Now, some of you today, you may sit on the pew and you may be very awake. Thank God for it. Say amen. Amen. But it may be that spiritually, you're asleep. Now let's examine what's going on here in verse 31. Read with me. A lot of scripture today. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Jesus is predicting his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Jesus is speaking how he's going to be betrayed, how he's going to die, and be raised again. Praise God. But Simon Peter was asleep spiritually before he ever went to sleep physically. Why? Because listen how foolish his statement is. Verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Simon Peter's asleep. The Lord just said, all of you will be offended this night because of me. Simon Peter said, oh, not me. It'll never happen. You see, when you're asleep, you'll make foolish statements. He thinks that the word of God doesn't apply to him. And you're in danger when you think the word of God does not apply to you. He thought he was the exception to the rule. You ever thought that? Well, I know what the rules say, but I'm the exception to the rule. He thought he was immune to the traps and the plots of Satan. Oh, he's asleep. You see, when Jesus predicted his death, burial, and resurrection, you know what Simon Peter was concerned with? How he looked. How he's concerned with himself. Though all men are offended, yet will I never be offended. It will never happen to me. I will never go asleep. He's already asleep spiritually. He's rebuking the Lord, and he's foolish in his statement. Look with me in verse 51. Verse 51. After the Lord Jesus said, rise, let us be going. The Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. And we know that Judas came and kissed Jesus on the cheek, and the soldiers and all the men were there. Verse 51, behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. You know another way I know he's asleep? He was fleshly with his sword. He was so disoriented, having just woken up from his good nap he's just had, he grabs his sword and he starts fighting the wrong way with the wrong people. And he chops off the high priest's servant's ear. He had no concept of what the real battle was all about. He was filled with pride. He was filled with pettiness. He was filled with envy. He was filled with critical. He was a spirit. He was filled with hastiness. I mean, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen? We have weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down. God wants us to use the weapons of prayer. The problem is Simon Peter was asleep and he became fleshly with his sword. Another way I know he's asleep, he's feeble with his stand. Look at verse 34. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all his disciples. Do you see that? Jesus said, you're going to deny me, Simon Peter. Simon Peter said, it'll never happen. Though I die with you, I'll never deny you. And every one of his disciples said, we'll never deny you, Lord Jesus. And Judas came into that garden, and he kissed Jesus on the cheek, and the soldiers grabbed our Lord, and they arrested him. Verse 56, read what it says with me at the end of verse 56. Then all, does your Bible say that? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Just like Jesus said, is exactly what they did. And they said it will never happen. They were feeble in their stand. They said, Lord, though we die with you, we'll never deny you. And when it came right down to it, they were trembling and sound asleep and wouldn't stand with the Lord. They all forsook him and fled. Look at verse 58. But Peter followed him afar off. What about that? Verses 69 through 75. Peter denied the Lord three times, and in his denial, he began to curse. You see, he was feeble in his stand, fleshly with his sword. He was foolish in his statements. Why? Because he was engaged in sleep. Before he ever went to sleep physically, he was already asleep spiritually. I just got out of revival. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, preached here Wednesday night, had a good service, going down the mountain. I'm already getting sleepy. I relaxed. As soon as I relax, I'm ready. Oh, Preacher Darren, you're tired. No, bless God, I'm not tired. Evidently, I'm asleep. And I've got to be awakened for the cause of Christ. And I must be stirred. And I must be motivated. And I must dial up the Spirit and work in the Word of God. We've got to get awake. Do you realize what year it is? This is the year the Lord could come. You realize what day it is? Jesus could come today. And when he comes, I don't want to be asleep spiritually. I want to be awake. Amen. Well, number two, I think about the environment of sleep. Now, I'm not talking about a sort of perfect sleeper or a great big fluffy pillow. I mean, I had a good dream the other night that I was eating marshmallows. Man, it was so good. I love marshmallows. And when I woke up, one of my pillows was gone. When I consider the environment of their sleep, I consider the weight and the seriousness of this hour. And it blows my mind how they could have slept under such circumstances. Now, every one of us here, you know what it's like to fight sleep. You know what it's like to get sleepy. Why, I tell right now, some of you is asleep while I'm preaching. One fellow even requested he be buried on that pew because he'd never slept so good in his whole life. Now, if you think about this text here in Matthew and you compare it with the book of Luke, Jesus asked his disciples to watch and pray. When he went away the first time, he prayed seeking the Father, and he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, the Bible says in the book of Luke, doesn't it, that Jesus was in such agony that his sweat became as great drops of blood. And when Jesus came back, there they were asleep. It says in verse 40, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? He looks at them, and no doubt they were alerted from sleep, from the doldrums, and they looked up at him. Don't you know that they saw his blood, his sweat as great drops of blood flowing down on his face? Don't you think that should have alerted them? That should have got their attention? That should have awakened them to the cause of Christ? Yet the Bible says they went right back to sleep when he went away again. And he came back, their eyes were heavy, and they were still asleep. Have you watched the news in the last 2 years? Have you seen what is going on in the world, in our nation, in our state? Are you not on high alert as to the spiritual seriousness and the soberness we ought to have in the times in which we live? And yet we just walk around sleepwalking through this whole thing. And it's very concerning. We have more information at our fingertips than any other generation ever. And for some reason, we're more ignorant than we've ever been before about the signs of the times and what's going on. I'm just amazed that these men slept, but then I look around at myself and I'm amazed that there are churches, powerful, God-called, Christ-centered churches that have gone to sleep in the day and age in which we live. Think about the impending betrayal that Jesus is facing. Verse 45, let's read it again. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, and his three closest disciples are sound asleep. I want to say today that pastors are asleep. people, membership, selling out for the cause of Christ. They're turning the world. It is amazing to me how the church is embracing the world. It is amazing to me how the church is losing ground. I mean ground that you worked and you toiled and you labored to gain, and now those gains are just being given up and given back to the world. I mean there is irreparable damage being done while we are asleep. And Jesus is being betrayed every day, and the church is asleep. How did they sleep through this betrayal? How did they sleep through the battle? There was an imminent battle. Listen, the battle of the ages is taking place, and these men are asleep. Preacher man, what are you talking about, the battle of the ages? It's not World War I or World War II. Oh, honey, it's much greater than either one. Jesus is ready to give his life. The sinless, harmless Son of God is going to give his life so that we sinners might be saved. It is the battle of the ages. Verse 52. Read it with me. Verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? 12 legions of angels. The battle of the ages is taking place right in their very midst. And Simon Peter is oblivious to what's taking place. He has no idea as to the real battle that's taking place all around him. And yet, he is asleep. And may I say that the day and age in which you and I live is the greatest days closest to the rapture that this world has ever known. I mean, I'm telling you, like a bag of popcorn, prophecy is being fulfilled. You take that bag of popcorn and you put it in the microwave and there's a pop, 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 and another pop, and another pop, and then some time, another pop, and all of a sudden, pop, 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 and we're nearing the end of the prophecies being fulfilled. I'm telling you, Jesus could come back today. And I believe the church is facing the greatest battle this side of the rapture today. I've never seen such changes in the United States of America. And it breaks my heart. I've never seen such changes taking place in the life of Christians today. The compromise and the persecution and the ridicule and the spiritual doldrums in which we now live. You may say, Pastor Darren, you're preaching this to the choir. I thank God for you. I hope you're awake. I certainly pray you're awake. There's an imminent battle, and these boys slept right through it. In fact, this is another one that grabs my attention. I think about the immense burden that my Savior had. Listen, when he came and got them, verse 37, look with me. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, Jesus is their leader. Jesus is their master. Jesus is their Savior. And he says to them, verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Watch with me. Their master is under an immense burden, even unto death. Now, I would like to say that if I came to our church and said, church, my wife and I are facing a real spiritual battle, a test. Would you pray with me? That y'all would jump in the mud puddle with me. You might even do whatever you could to lift me up and get me out of it. You'd pray with me. You'd labor with me. You'd think that people would be there for their pastor. At least that's what I believe. And yet our Savior, I mean, your pastor is a sinner. Your pastor is a wretched man. But our Savior is a righteous man. He's the Son of God. And he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Watch with me. I mean, these three boys were handpicked and chosen to go with the Savior into the Garden of Gethsemane. And if anybody was going to be awake and pray, you'd believe and you'd think it would be them. And yet, knowing the burden that Jesus was under, verse 40, he comes and finds them asleep and says, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" When he goes away the second time, they were asleep again. And now in verse 45, he says, "Sleep on now." What's amazing? When the pastor has a burden, how the church will sleep. How people are broken with needs all around us, and how the church will sleep. How people are begging God for an outpouring of the Spirit, and yet people sit here asleep. It's amazing what wakes you up. It's amazing what puts you to sleep. It's sad. Oh, I think about the environment of sleep. Thirdly, and I'm done, because I don't want to put you to sleep. Pastor, you've said sleep on now, but you've never discussed what that means. Thirdly, there is the enlightenment of sleep. Now, what we're dealing with here is not political. It is the powers and the principalities of the devil, of the world, and of our own sinful, wretched flesh. I'm telling you, these boys were asked to pray, and they didn't. So let's get some enlightenment about why Jesus said, "Sleep on now." I think, first of all, that their sleep did not disrupt the Lord's perseverance. What do you mean, Preacher Darren? While they were asleep, he prayed. Woo! Hallelujah! When we are asleep, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. When they were asleep, he was still praying. Hey, thank God for my Savior who's still praying. It may be today that somebody here, you're asleep, but there may be others that are praying for your children. There may be others that are praying for your home. There may be others that are praying for your marriage. I'm telling you, your marriage is just about down the tube, and you ought to be concerned, and you're so tired of the fighting and the fussing and the trying to fix it that you're just ready to take a nap and go to sleep. But thank God somebody else is praying for you. When most of the church doesn't care, there's somebody that's still praying. Amen! Woo! I'm glad that the Lord has some that'll still be awake and seek the face of God. Think about the Lord's perseverance. Did not disrupt it. Second of all, it did not derail the Lord's purpose. Oftentimes, I found at least 4 or 5 times where Jesus would say, "Mine hour is not yet come." That hour in which he would go to the cross. That hour in which he would be betrayed. That hour is more than just an hour. It is a time. It is a specific season that Jesus was speaking about. And look with me what he says in verse 45. He says, "Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand." This is the moment of the Lord's purpose. This is the moment of the Lord's timetable. And what did they do? They slept. Did their sleep stop the purpose of God? Did their sleep hinder God's timetable from going forward? Absolutely not. Sleep did not stop it. Look at verse 54. Verse 54. "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Hey, scripture is going to be fulfilled whether we sleep or not. Verse 56. "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." God's promises are not contingent on you or I being awake. God's promises and his purpose is not contingent on you and I being alert. hey, the Lord can do it with or without us. He says to them, hey, you three fellas, church, go ahead and sleep on now. Just go ahead, sleep on. You're going to miss it. You go ahead and sleep on, but it will not change it from happening. Verse 64, it does not diminish the Lord's preeminence. Look at the verse 64. Jesus, now he's under arrest, and he's talking to the council, and he's speaking with the high priest. Verse 64, Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Their lack of prayer, their going to sleep did not hinder the Lord from coming and the Lord from being preeminent. He's God with or without you and I praying. So, Pastor, then, what's the point? Sleep on now. Oh, he gave you the point. It's in verse 41. Let's look at it again. I'm done. Verse 41. Here's the point. Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Preacher, why'd he ask them to watch and pray? They were not to be watching and praying to stop Judas from coming to that garden. They were not supposed to be watching and praying to keep the soldiers from coming and arresting him in that garden. They were not supposed to be praying that the Lord, that God the Father would take the burden off of Jesus, that he would remove the crucifixion and say, this is a terrible idea, Lord, change that. That's not what they're watching and praying about. They're not watching and praying about anything other than they're told that they're going to enter a time of trouble, a time of temptation, and a time of trial. And he says, if you're not careful, if you're not watching and praying, you're going to fold. You need to be prepared so that when the enemy comes and the moment of temptation comes, you're ready. But they missed it. Their window to pray, they missed it. And Jesus said, sleep on now. You see, by the phrase, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, there's a part of you that wants to pray. There's a part of you that wants to see souls saved. There's a part of you that wants to see people shouting and rejoicing and celebrating and having a revival. There's a part of you that wants the right thing to be done. There's a part of you that wants lives to be changed. That's your spirit. It's willing. But the flesh is weak. You see, there's another part of you that while the battle is raging, you want to go to sleep. In the times at which you and I now live, you want to go to sleep. While I'm preaching, your flesh wants to go to sleep. While an invitation is given, just like Jesus invited his three disciples, watch and pray. They couldn't watch and pray with him for an hour. There'll be an invitation given and you'll stand there through the invitation. And are we really praying, saying, Lord, would you help me when the hour of trouble and trial and temptation comes, that God, I'd have the spiritual moxie, I'd have the Holy Ghost backbone to be able to recognize it, and I wouldn't fold up during that time. Boy, it is terrible. I think the last thing I want to hear Jesus say is, sleep on. This is the most exciting time in all of Christian history. I just finished Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, revival prayer meeting, excited to death. Thanksgiving is coming up the next day, and I'm going down the mountain. Where am I going? Down the mountain. Down. You'll get it in a minute. Some of you, it's not asleep. Down the mountain. And I got sleepy. Going down the mountain. I've driven that mountain so many times. I got sleepy. I'm going to tell you something. God the Holy Ghost said, you've got people that are sleepy. More than just sleepy, they've gone to sleep. If you look around today, it's the most exciting time in all of history. The gospel trumpet is getting ready to sound. And I'm afraid some of us will say, snooze, snooze, snooze. Lord, hit it again. Just give me 5 more minutes, Lord, I need to snooze. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, I don't want to hear Jesus say, sleep on. But maybe he says to somebody today, sleep on. We're going to carry on without you. When you get ready to get with the program, let us know. But you just sleep on now. Take your rest. The purpose and the cause of Christ is going to go on with or without you. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want it to go on without me. I want to be involved. I don't want to be asleep in the bleachers. I want to be on the field for the cause of Christ. I want to be on the field serving him. I want to be engaged in serving my Savior. You'll stand to your feet this morning. Seth, I want you to play something. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But when you start, I want you to say, I want you to play something that'll wake everybody up. I don't know if it's Here Comes the Bride or what, but you play something. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up. Come on right now. Mind the Lord. Lord, I don't want to go to sleep. Lord, I want to be alert. I want to be used of God. Help me, Lord. Touch me, Father. Oh, yes, would you come this morning? Many things to pray about. Folks are still moving. Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, I want to give you thanks and I want to give you praise. Lord, I know my body gets tired. It does. And Lord, it does need a good rest every now and then. But Lord, I don't want to be spiritually asleep. Lord, I want to be serving, actively engaged. God help us, I pray this morning, that our focus would be upon Christ. And God, would you help us, Lord, to be strengthened in the time of trouble, trial, and temptation. Lord, I pray you'd give us victory. God, I pray for homes that are in trouble. I pray for young people. God, decisions are being made to turn to the world. God, I pray you'd wake them up and show them the dangers thereof. God, I pray today, Father, you'd get our attention. And God, you'd help us, Lord, to get over our cases of, Lord, I don't care, and whatever happens, happens. God, get us past that. Get us, Father, engaged in the things of Christ and alert us, awake us, help us, God, to watch and to pray. God, we have sick people, folks who have cancer, folks who have COVID. God, help us to be faithful to pray for them. Lord, these that have surgeries, God, help them, Lord, I pray. God, these that are weak, these that are feeble, God, give them strength. Help them, Lord. Touch our church here at Bethel. Do a great work, Lord, I'm asking. Help us, Father, in the coming days, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.